Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, welcome back to In the Jar. We got one for y'all this week, man. My buddy John Staton comes on the pod here in a little bit. He's a former national champion with the Georgia Bulldogs, working with the fastest growing sports media company in the land right now, On3. He's a big part of why the NIL business is what it is. We're going to cover some main happenings from training camp as it continues to unfold in football season right around the corner. Some good fights, some helmet pops, literally guys taking their teammates' helmets off and popping them in the skull right there. All of this on episode 30, In the Jar. We appreciate y'all coming. Sit on down and let's get in there. Let's go. What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? It's your boy Dupe, your favorite dumbass. We back for another episode, episode 30 of In the Jar this week. Feeling blessed, man. Feeling thankful. Feeling ready. We got our boy Staton coming on here in about 11 minutes. You know what I'm talking about, but I figured we'd go ahead and get it rolling. So instead of showing a clip of the week, I found that there's less and less clips I'm finding. I wish there were more, but just lately, you know, I like the dumbass shit. I like the random stuff, and I did find one this week. So I thought we would start it off with that. Start it off with a bang here, and then kind of get into some football stuff that's going on. We're in the thick of training camp. It's right around the corner, but we're gonna spare all the details this week to start the show. We got a lot cooking, and we're gonna get right into it. Here's the first deal.
You got to come down to the promised land, man. 235 acres. We farming our own chickens, homie. Thousands of chickens. Thousands. Running around everywhere. Quack, quack, quack. Talking about next level shit, homie.
Talking about thousands. Thousands. I'll tell you what, though, man. That's a dream, man, to have a damn farm. I've seen videos of Rick Ross's property that he talks about. I think it's down there in close to Atlanta, and they got like thousands of acres. And when you can wake up and damn have your own chickens, grab some eggs, some freshly laid eggs in the morning, throw them on the skillet. Man, I told somebody, I think it was a client of mine the other day, that she was talking about her retirement dreams and what she wanted to do when she's retired, because that's important conversation in my business. And so I shared my dream with her. I told her, hell, you know, I want to be a cattle farmer. I want to have animals that I take care of and live off and have a symbiotic relationship with. That's a damn dream. I feel like the starter pack is to, you know, when you get some bread, is to have some chickens, have them laying eggs. But then, man, I want to take it to the next level and have some cattle. My buddy Aaron, he's a cattle farmer, and I'm sure he could show me the ropes. You know what I'm saying? So the way Rick Ross talks about things, it's so, like, you can't, when Rick Ross talks about something, you can't help but listen. It's like a sensational way of speaking. He just, a thousand. We got thousands. The biggest. We got it. Kind of reminds me of the way Trump talks. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the ability. I don't know what it is. It's got to be confidence. That ability to engage folks when you're talking to them and be like, "We got thousands of damn acres out here. We got thousands of damn chickens laying thousands of damn eggs all the time. We got thousands of I fumbled that one. I was going to talk about the nutritional property of eggs freshly laid. But anyways, I thought that was a cool clip. That's the only like non-sports, non-football clip we're going to show on the episode. So I thought we'd go ahead and get it knocked out before we welcome Big Staten onto the show. So we'll go to the next deal here. This is Colin Cowherd talking about the Patriots quarterback battle.
Drake May sounds like it's not going well in New England. According to Michael Hawley, somebody I know, trust, and respect, he said, "I went to recent practices. I wanted him to be Justin Herbert and Josh Allen because those were the comps. But what I saw was the ghost of Mac Jones." There's another story that Joe Milton, he was the quarterback fun to watch from Tennessee, sixth round. They drafted two quarterbacks. That Milton has a wow factor, big, stronger arm than May, more athletic than May. And everybody's looking, thinking, is the sixth round guy better than the first round guy? PFF ranks New England's wide receiving core, all Belichick drafted, as 32nd. PFF ranks their running back group, all Belichick drafted, as 25th. Their offensive line as 28th. What does that tell you? That the sixth round quarterback, Joe Milton, is going to probably win the job because he's the athlete. He's the bigger, stronger, faster, more dynamic athlete. And they don't have any at wide receiver, tight end, at running back. Listen, Kirk Cousins and RG3 back in 2012 got drafted by Washington. And they figured out by year two, Cousins is the guy. I think that's what we're looking at now. I don't think I'm overreacting.
So Joe Milton at Tennessee played three seasons. 314 completions out of 498 attempts, 4,159 yards passing, 32 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He wowed at the combine. His arm strength at the combine. I remember we covered it on the show. He's damn guy probably can throw it 50 yards from his knees, Joe Milton. And then you see on screen, or you saw on screen, bigger body than Drake May. Probably just as much ability to move. And as an organization, when you draft a guy high, you're in a bit of a conundrum when you have a guy like Joe Milton come in and show some stuff, because it's an ego thing. You feel stupid. But then also, they're probably investing much more money into Drake May. But at the end of the day, you're going to get some cheddar back if you're winning football games on the field. And the way you do that is obviously putting the best players out there on the field. So Drake May threw for 8,018 yards at North Carolina, 618 completions out of 952 attempts, 63 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. So I was expecting to see similar numbers when I compared Drake May's college statistics to Joe Milton's college statistics. Drake May's stats blow Milton's out of the water on paper. But sometimes, man, numbers don't tell the whole story. Numbers tell a lot of the story. They don't tell the whole story. Sometimes it's more than that. And I could imagine, being such a high draft pick, that Drake May knows the expectations that are bestowed to him. And that's not always a good thing for some guys. Sometimes it's one of the best things for a guy, right? It's a double-edged sword. It takes a special kind of guy to be able to take expectations and use them as fuel as opposed to the opposite. And so we'll see what kind of guy he is. I would imagine New England sticks with their guns and starts Drake May on week one. But what a story would it be if week one, first series for New England on offense, they run Joe Milton out there as QB1, a sixth round pick out of the University of Tennessee. I don't know. Colin Coward's one of the hot take kings. He's had a lot of previously freezing cold takes, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see that play out in New England. It's camp, baby. It's camp. We find out who the guys are every year. It's one of the most exciting times in the year for football fans, one of the most depressing for players. Sometimes not. That's a blanket statement. Camp sucks. It's no secret. We're going to get into some clips later in the show with some crispy, clean fights that are breaking out across the league. But, you know, we're in camp. It's good stuff. And speaking of dirty, nasty, scrappy, before we welcome State, and we'll show one more clip here. This is from Appalachian State in Boone, North Carolina. It got really chippy, homicidally chippy. Here it is. Bro, and you see him wobble. Like, you know it's bad when you see him keeling over after getting hit in the head like that. I've seen a lot of guys get hit in the head. I would guess that whoever hit him with that helmet is probably kicked off the team as of the time we're recording this. I would hope so. You don't treat your teammates like that. You take care of your teammates, regardless of how high tensions boil. You take care of teammates. You take care of your training mates. You take care of people around you. You know what I'm saying? We got my boy Staten. Can you hear me, brother? Dude. Can you hear me, brother? Yeah, he can hear me. Dude, I didn't even get a chance to provide an introduction, so I'm going to do it now. We got my former teammate, John Staten, national champion from Georgia, one of the co-founders of the Classic City Collective.
You got it.
One of the top dogs in the damn NIL business right now. It's John fucking Staten, baby. Let's go. What you got going on, dog?
Man, well, first off, it's an honor to be in the jar. I try to get out of the jar, always try to get out of the jar, but now I'm back in it. So I'm glad we're here. Let's do this thing.
You remember the old saying, if you say you're not in the jar, you're in the jar?
Man, it is one of the most complex theories there is. If you think about being in the jar, you're in the jar. It's impossible to get out of it. You can't get yourself out of the jar. It's one of those things that it'll go down in sports history being one of the most confusing, complex things that's ever happened to the brain. No football player can come.
I still got to call up Hatch one day. I got to call him up and tell him, hey, man, we got a show. We're 30 episodes in, and we named it after your phrase, dude. I got to call him up. Have you talked to BA at all lately? Might not have gotten me there.
My Wi-Fi is being a little slow, but hey, if you tell Coach Hatcher, call him, tell him to finish that stadium. Remember that stadium they showed us on a recruiting visit?
Bro, so they, I think they did something, did they not? They did, it wasn't what
they did.
They did a renovation.
They did a side renovation over where the rec center was. They built like an extension of the rec center, and they got it up for this year.
Now we're buffering. Yeah, dude. I saw the damn FIU. I think you guys broke that story, right? FIU naming rights to Pitbull, or Pitbull bought the naming rights. It's what, $1.3 million a year?
$1.3 million a year over five. He took the money that Texas paid him to perform at their SEC opening party in Austin and paid it right to FIU to get the naming rights of the stadium. They got his vodka in there. He got two luxury suites for every game, 20 parking passes. It's a halftime performance at all. It's a good deal. And that's the future too. That's the future of college football, man. We're going to have Dupree Stadium in Lexington, Kentucky real quick. Kroger Field is gone.
Dude, I know you, I don't want to put you in hot water by saying anything, but Kroger Field has got to be one of the worst stadium renames ever. But I will say there's a lot of nostalgia in Commonwealth Stadium, the inner child speaking right now, going to games, growing up, going to Commonwealth, and then you rename it Kroger Field. I don't know.
And I'll tell you what, Kroger Field, it's not a fun place to play. I feel like whenever the Dogs go up there, it's freezing cold, it's windy. It's a good environment, good fans. Football is mid, though. Mid at best.
Yeah, we got in a little online dynasty, dude. Me, Dan Miller, Lewis, George, Pitty, etc. And I chose the Wildcats, dude. I chose the Cats. I'm trying to...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Defy what happens in reality, where these UK teams, they get hyped up preseason, first five games, they play pretty well, and then they crap out. The same things happened season one that happens in real life.
I'll give you this. Brock Vandergrift's going to be the truth. Give Brock Vandergrift two seasons under the helm. He's going to be the truth. Listen, if you like playing in the Cactus Bowl and the Gator Bowl and winning 8 to 10 games every year, Kentucky, that's your team. That's who you want to cheer for. But I think Vandergrift might be able to get him over the hump. The problem is they got to play this new SEC schedule. So they had Georgia. You know, now they got to do Texas. They got to do Oklahoma. I mean, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road to be a mid-tier And they're not mid. I mean, they're not mid. They're always consistently top 25, sometimes sneak into that top 10 to 12 range. It's hard for them to break through just given the sheer force of the schedule they have to play. But they're better than Florida. They're up there a little bit with Tennessee, right? They're up there with Missouri. So it's really just like Missouri's good. Kentucky's got to beat Missouri. Florida's good. It's challenging to say the least, but they got the right guy at the helm. They obviously have the facilities, they got the fan base. I mean, Kentucky for On3, it's one of our biggest fan sites. So, you know, nothing but love to the Big Blue Nation. But, you know, listen, it's not an easy road, as you know.
So you're director of sports marketing at On3. What does your day-to-day look like right now?
Man, it's every day is different, which is fun, man. We're getting ready for football season, which is obviously – you know, our biggest time of the year, just trying to get everybody on the same page, trying to, you know, really grow our communities, provide our audience with the best content on college sports, breaking news, giving them that forum to discuss all the good things about Kentucky, all the good things about Georgia, all the good things about what's happening in the world of college athletics. And, you know, it's fun. We're a media company at heart, but we're able to do some really cool things with the relationships that we've built with athletes over the last 30 years. Our founder started Rivals.com and 247. And so this is his third venture. He's ranked every single player that's in the NFL now. We rank five stars. 84% of those five stars get drafted. So we got something special here, obviously built on tech and carried by our talent and the stuff we're able to produce on social media, on video. But it's a fun space to be in and a good time to be in it.
So as director of sports marketing, are you B2B focused? Are you focused on obviously building partnerships with different entities, whether that be other companies, other schools? Tell me more about what that means.
Yeah, so, you know, partnership-based, obviously broadly focused on, you know, other companies, selling our media assets, working with athletes. We do some school consulting. But right now we're really focused on elevating our product. We're trying to drive consumers to our app to catch the breaking news, to interact on the message boards, really trying to optimize our subscription and offer a lot of value to the consumer. I mean, we built something that, you know, it's obviously works. You know, we have subscribers because they know that On3 is the place to get their college football content. And now we're trying to build that consumer experience. So that would be, you know, bringing a company like PrizePicks on, who's going to be our gambling partner this year, or working with Amazon Prime to promote March Madness and really, you know, direct traffic to Prime Video to watch March Madness, things of that nature. So, you know, every day looks a little bit different, but we've got a lot of things going on and we're trying to optimize them all to, number one, create that fan community, and number two, create a really good product.
PrizePicks is, they've been so aggressive with their partnerships. At least for the last 12 months, 24 months, everywhere you go on YouTube, you see PrizePicks. Whether it's those Full Send boys, I know Sean, Sean O'Malley, they freaking hook him up with a ton of stuff. They seem really aggressive with how they're trying to grow. So do you have a direct contact? Like, is that your job to be directly in touch with the folks at these companies?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been working with them for about two seasons. And like you said, they're all over the place, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, really trying to capitalize on that influencer marketing space, which I think is, you know, for them, the right share or right piece, because they're trying to drive that market share. They have a little bit of a different product niche than a FanDuel or a DraftKings. You know, they're in daily fantasy. So they're offering, you know, an opportunity to parlay over unders versus specific lines. Their product's getting really good. It's getting a lot better. They get a lot of free play. You know, for me, it's my preferred platform right now. But yeah, man, we work with their partnership team, work with their revenue team to, you know, create opportunities, whether that's within our podcasts, our anchors kind of reading, hey, you know, go to PrizePicks, get the daily special today, or promoting it on social, putting picks out. So all those good things to try to direct our consumer to their platform.
They make it very simple, dude. It's like, it's gotten better over, I mean, obviously since sports gambling has become largely legal, but 2-3 years ago, you download a sportsbook app and you've never done something like that before. You're wondering what the fuck you're looking at.
It's hard.
You know? And so I feel like PrizePicks, they've made it very, like, they got the player's picture that you're betting on. There's no, you know, there's no like crazy lines, nothing like that. But they've done a great job, man.
Just like you, man. Hey, I've seen In the Jar grow. Going to be on the list, going to be on the chart soon. The top of the sports world, Real Conversations, Get Ready with That Cold Plunge, all them things. I know all those Sanford boys are watching. Shout out Sigma Nu at Sanford. Shout out Sanford football. Right here, yep. Ice in the veins.
So Staten and I, big Staten supporters. And I played football together. Go ahead, brother.
I want to hear more about it. Tell us what we're getting into here. I know you've been getting right with this, but you talk about everything from NFL, college sports, MMA. I mean, some of the relationships that you've been forming within that space are really cool, man. I want to hear more about it.
I mean, shit, dude. It's really been about showing up, and starting's the hardest part, because especially something like this that's largely on you, right? I don't have somebody churning out topics for me every week. I've got a guy that helps me edit, and he's a freaking lifesaver. But I mean, showing up, trying to market the thing effectively. I've got this AI software that you literally throw a YouTube link in and it cuts you like 30 clips with captions, and you know, trying to grow the thing, stay consistent. And then obviously, you know, making connections with, you know, obviously in this case, reconnecting with folks. But I mean, shit, man, football is right around the corner. I was worried because when the NFL season ended last year, we started in January, and so the NFL season wrapped in February. And so I was kind of like, damn, dude, we're just getting started. It was like, what is there going to be to talk about? And before you know it, we're here. Football season's right around the corner, and I feel like we've been able to produce a pretty good product week in and week out. So it's weird, right? Like a lot of people think they can't do something like this. And basically the premise of doing this show for me is to send a message of like, if my dumbass can do something like this every week, you can. You know what I mean? So that's the premise of that, you know?
Man, I love it. And you know what? I'll say to the sports fan, there's 2 months where you're like, man, is football coming back? And it's back before you know it. We got preseason rolling up. I'm going to be in Scotland and Ireland next 2 weeks, going to that Georgia Tech, Florida State game to kick off the college football season overseas, teeing it up a little bit.
I see your golf content. Yeah. Dude, I'm getting better, but...
You are getting better.
Still bad. Dude, tell me about Amarius Mims. What can the Bengals expect from a guy like that? He's a big boy, dude.
Well, let me tell you this. He is a freak athlete. He is not a tackle. He is an athlete, man. If he was a little bit smaller, he could play damn tight end. I'll tell you this, I think that Joe Burrow is going to have a lot better opportunity to stay healthy. I think he's going to have a lot cleaner pocket. I think that he is going to be able to throw the ball confidently without him being worried about getting hit and driven into the ground. I think it was a steal where they got him. I mean, he is invincible. Great, great kid. Great dude. Loves ball. Loves to play ball. So I think they got a good one. So hopefully the Bengals can get back to that Super Bowl this year.
You've been around a lot of guys that have turned out to be pros, especially at Georgia. I mean, even in our time at Samford, we've known some guys that are having success. I want to know at the highest level what these guys like. What's the special sauce with these guys? What are they doing in the mornings? What are their routines? Like what makes them special? Guys like N'Kobe Dean that are making it happen.
Dog. That guy's a dog. He's going to have a breakout year for the Birds. Man, you saw it firsthand. Guys like James Bradberry, Tart, KJ McKnight, Devlin Hodges. Like those guys are all blessed, obviously, with the ability to play ball and understand ball, but you know, when it breaks down to it, man, they just want it. You know, they obviously have the God-given ability, but so do a lot of people, man. First off, you got to love ball. You got to understand how to play the game. You know, I don't think people know how technical the game of football gets when you're on that high level of SEC football, obviously going into the league, man. Like it takes every single person doing their job exactly right on every single play to be successful. And those guys are driven with a different purpose. Get up early. Like you said, it's a ton of film study. It's a ton of going to get extra work with your position coach. It's that, hey, man, if you don't understand something, you got to ask about it and you got to learn it, because you're not doing your job on what, hey, you not carrying that running back through the middle on that one play could lead to the game being a different score at the end of the day. And, you know, we're obviously blessed and lucky to be around a lot of guys like you mentioned, N'Kobe Dean. I mean, that guy is one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my life. He understands football better than just about anybody I've ever seen, but he also wanted it more. He was always getting extra work. He was always in the coach's office, but man, he had that leadership quality. Like you saw in the national championship game when Channing Tindall, our other guy, linebacker who he's on the Dolphins now, man, he cut somebody loose on the goal line. N'Kobe got in his fucking face, and the next play Channing sacked Bryce Young to really secure the deal, man. So, I mean, it's all about having that.
Did that clip go viral? I think that clip went viral, right?
Dude. Absolutely went viral. He was up in his face mask grabbing his shit.
I saw a clip from Saban a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it's an old clip or if it's not, but they asked him the same question I just asked you. And he said it's a guy's ability to tell himself the truth. Like, so simple. But I see that clip and I'm like, it's something I would have never thought about before. But then I thought, got to thinking, I was like, damn, like the easiest person to lie to is ourselves. And I think a lot of people, probably 99% of folks, get caught up in their own kind of story, their own kind of narrative about what they're doing. And Saban's like, nah, dude, like you got to brutally tell yourself the truth when you show up every day. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do to put the work in to get to where I'm being? Am I investing my time or am I spending it?
No, absolutely. And I think it comes down to that, like, hey, you know, you're obviously got eyeballs on you when you're in the facility. You know, they're tearing, you know, clips apart at practice. You're going to know if you do something wrong. But like, what do you do when you're not in the facility? What do you do that sets you apart? Like, you know, I told myself the truth. I was like, I'm not fast. I'm not athletic, but I know how to play a little bit of football. And like, that's going to only get me so far. Right. But like, I had to tell myself the truth every day and try to get in the gym, do extra work, get a little bit faster, get a little bit stronger, learn a little bit more. And you know, those guys who have that ability, that innate ability to tell themselves the truth and to, you know, be their own coach, be their own hardest critic, I think are the guys that really succeed and end up thriving and, you know, getting that bag. That's right. You know, I mean, like Joe Burrow, yeah. Right? Like he was a backup at Ohio State, but shit, he took a chance on himself. He went to LSU. He put in two hard years of work and, you know, he just signed the, you know, most lucrative contract in NFL history. Like it's that kind of stuff, that stuff that people on the outside don't necessarily recognize or don't understand that really separates those guys and puts them on that next level.
I read that article about you in The Athletic, and I did not know this. It said that you walked in, I imagine, to Ross Newton's office. Maybe it was Kreisel. I don't know who's the special teams guy at the time. And you said, bro, I want to play special teams. Just give me one shot. All I need is one shot. Who was that you...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Went in and said that too.
And I walked up to Kreisel's office, freshman year camp, man. I'll tell you what. So I, you know, you gotta be in the team's meeting. If you're not in the special teams meeting, man, you might as well be an assistant trainer. You're just taking up space. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, how am I not in the team's meeting? Like, what's going on? Like, you know, I busted my ass this summer. You know, I wanted a chance. And I walked up there and BA happened to be sitting in his office, our old strength coach at Samford. And I was like, listen, Kreisel, like, just give me one chance. Put me on scout team. Do whatever. I'll do kickoff return. I'll do pump, whatever it is, man. And BA was like, yeah, he earned it. He deserves it. He worked his ass off this summer. Like, give him that one chance. And, you know, I'll never forget. He put me on scout team to start. And then that next week, we had our first scrimmage. And I was on kickoff return starting against the other guys that were going down there trying to fight for a spot. And I was like, shit, man, this is it. Like, I got one chance to prove that I'm the guy. And, you know, went down there and basically shit, closed my eyes and laid somebody the fuck out. And then it was history since then. One of the, you know, those beanie caps, you know, those little caps I got over the beanies, man, that thing went shooting about 40 feet in the air. And they played that clip and replayed it in that special teams meeting. And I was like, I think I got something here. I just got to be that feisty special teams guy.
So do you think, so I've been in the building at Samford. I have not been in the building at a bigger program like the University of Georgia. You have. Is there anything, obviously it's going to change coach to coach, but is there anything, like, was it drastically different the way things were run in the building at Georgia as opposed to our alma mater, Samford, or it's kind of the same?
Man, it really is just time and resources, right? Like, if you're able to have 20 extra dudes that are in the bullpen clipping up film and getting ready and doing, you know, hey, we're scouting for game 15 right now, getting ready, and we have four extra guys to do extra work with our D linemen on the field. Like, you get incrementally better doing that. You know, I mean, like, we had the ability because we had a little bit more depth at in the SEC level at Georgia, you know, to hit more in practice and to be physical and
more
one
scholarships,
of the things that Kirby
right?
always said is, yeah, exactly. But he's like, listen, you're not going to play a better team than you play in practice every day. Like, the second string guys going against the first string, like, good on good at practice and camp, like, you're not going to play better guys, right? Like, we might have 40 to 50 guys on that 21 roster that touch the field in the NFL at some point. And it's like, you don't get that at other schools, and like the resources and the money and the time and the ability to provide better treatment, have a little bit more, you know, more film study going on. Like, all of those things are just added resources that just incrementally make you better than you were amazing or than you're supposed to be. And it's amazing, like, the difference that makes. But when you get to the league, right, like, that's kind of not the case anymore. Like, everybody's got resources, but there's, you know, like, there's not a ton of money from the school flowing in. Like, everybody's good, right? You know you're going to play somebody good, and it's just about maximizing that roster. And, like, shit, we maximize the roster at Samford, right? Like, they do a good job recruiting. They do a good job getting walk-ons, guys like us that, you know, were willing to come in there, and they knew that they could have this guy play special teams or had a chance to play in, you know, offense or defense. But, man, at the end of the day, it's all about money. It's all about resources. It's all about having extra bodies. That's really what makes a difference.
Dude, when I was rolling over here to do this shoot, I saw a clip of Kirby Smart when he was playing back at Georgia, playing DB, I think, number 16. Guy was a dog. You're not expecting a white guy to come in and play DB, maybe a couple decades ago when he was in there, but he was making plays, getting turnovers, running to the sideline, you know, getting in hype. I mean, And that juice, in the clips I see at least, I've never met Kirby, it translates, you know. All I want to do is fucking eat, you know. Like, that type of shit, it's like, dude, that's the
– That's
like,
right. That's
I was
it.
Talking to somebody about – Yeah, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It's like, okay, why wasn't a guy like Arthur Smith successful in a head coaching role in NFL? He's a hell of a coordinator. We're going to see him do – probably great things with this Pittsburgh Steelers offense, but he wasn't successful as a head coach in Atlanta. Why is that? And I thought about it for a second. I was like, dude, it's charisma. Like, you got to have that charisma that someone like Kirby has to be able to lead men. Yes, you can have great pedigree with the X's and O's and understand the game thoroughly, but you need that charisma. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's right. But like Kirby's case, like he can say, like, I've done this shit. Like, I've been at the University of Georgia. I know how much it means to me. I want it to mean that much to you. And I think, like, slowly you've seen that, right? Like, his first year wasn't great. He didn't have his roster. But then, like, year two on, it's been incrementally better every year. The players have gotten better. The recruiting's gotten better. The staff has gotten more functional together. And then you put that product together and you put it out in the field and you get numbers. I mean, they're 41-2 over the last three seasons. Should have won another national championship last year, got left out of the playoff for some bullshit reason. But, like, they believe in what they're doing. And everybody that's in that facility believes in the mission. They believe in the goal. They believe in the connection, toughness, resiliency, like all of those things that they preach to you on a daily, you know, daily basis. They believe in that. And that shows on the field. And not to discredit Arthur Smith and not to discredit what they did on the Falcons, but, like, they weren't all together, right? Like, it didn't look like that was a cohesive team operating as one body, one heart. And that's when you get that success. Like, that's what Saban built, right? Like, Kirby didn't – I mean, it's not crazy to think that Kirby did the exact same thing that Saban did, right? He had the exact same schedule that Alabama did. But he said, I noticed these three things that, you know, he did that I'm going to implement in my system that's going to make us incrementally better to get us over to the next hump. Dan Lanning. Right. He was under Saban. He was under Kirby. Yep. He took three things from Saban, took three things from Kirby and said, I'm going to do this a little bit better and put it in my formula, my secret sauce at Oregon. And now you see them being a top three team every year. Sark under, you know, it all runs from those guys. I mean, obviously Saban is the GOAT and he's the GOAT for a reason. But I mean, it really is like you got to believe in what you preach and you got to optimize your time. You got to make sure every single second is utilized.
I think something that stands out to me, and I want to be respectful of your time, by the way, we've been chatting, but one thing that stands out to me that I was thinking about when you were saying all that is the impact of good mentors. People that have done something before that can kind of fast track you and say, hey, look, these are three ways I fucked up at the beginning of my career. Don't do that again. You know, don't repeat my mistake. Learn from this.
I mean, I think that's life. I think that, you know, those people, you always got to have mentors in life. You always got to be able to look up to somebody to ask their advice, to really grab onto their experience and make sure that you, you know, take that next step, right? Like, I don't want to be you. I want to be 10X you. I want to be incrementally better. And I think that's like you said, like starting this podcast, like it's all on you, right? Like, I'm sure that you've been able to reach out to people that have experience in doing this, but like, at the end of the day, it's on you to take what they've done and learn. They'll take the lessons that they've taught you and learn and get better and produce a quality product, man. But that's for everything in life.
Yeah. I think with this, a big driver and part of the reason I probably said what I said about mentors is that the whole reason I got the nuts to start this was Sean O'Malley and Tim Welch. And seeing how those guys are doing with their brands and then kind of, you know, I don't talk to them every day, but, you know, you kind of get the tips and tricks over time. I've been over at the gym for like 3 years now. And over time you get a lot of these like, hey, do this, don't do this. The importance of, putting the right words in the headline of the video, like just little things like that, editing stuff that would probably take someone else, you know, a much longer time to learn. So having mentors, dude, I can imagine coaching is huge, huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to buy that ice bath and make it look pretty and post pictures on social media, but it ain't easy to get in that motherfucker every morning. I promise you that.
Hell no, man.
And like once you get that routine, man, it's hard to stop.
Yeah, you just wire that shit into your brain. It's like I used to wake up really nervous to do the show and stuff, and now it's like it's just kind of part of it, right? You just show up. Same thing with ball. It's like, ah, shit. You know, I'm taking more reps with the twos. I'm taking more reps with the ones. And at first, it's like, ah, you know, fuck. Like I'm nervous, whatever. You know, Coach Kirby's watching me or whatever. And then it's like you get you a couple reps and you say, oh, that wasn't so bad, you know?
Yeah, it's all about that confidence and believing in yourself that you can do it. Like you're out there for a reason. Like I promise you, they're not going to put you out there unless they think that you can succeed. And, you know, having that inner belief, that internal belief, and, you know, having a strong support system, mentors, coaches, all those things, like that helps you get to the next level, helps you be better. Which is, you know, listen, Kirby always said, and Coach Hatcher said as well, like you're never going to be the same. You're always going to either be better or worse than you were yesterday. So like make the most of today. And I think that's, I mean, in anything you do, but that's kind of the motto, right? You're never going to be the same. You're either going to be best. You're going to be better. You're going to be worse than you were today before.
Yeah. It's daunting too. If you think about, I mean, you could look at it two ways, right? You can either look at that as like, ah, shit. You know, it's daunting. But then it's like, okay, I'm just going to get uncomfortable. I'm going to do the work and let that speak for itself, you know.
100%. All right, who's your college football pick this year? Who's going to win it all?
I don't want to seem like a dick rider, but it looks like Georgia's got a team, man. It looks like they've got a team, and they're probably pissed off about getting left out this past season. If I had a gun to my head and I had to pick, in my ill-informed opinion, I would probably pick Georgia, maybe Ohio State. But the reason I pick Ohio State is because of how good that Judkins kid is in NCAA. It's maddening. Every single online match I hop on, it's Ohio State that I'm playing against. And they put this kid out in space, and every time, spin, move, juke, he's out and he's gone. So, I mean, here's the thing, and I'm sidetracking. Here's the thing. The reason I love this NCAA game being back is because it is so much easier playing that game to keep up with who's playing where, what schedules look like. All the basically those two things are the main things that I struggled to keep up with in the past, especially with the transfer portal stuff, this, that, and the other. It was starting to get a lot like professional baseball for me, where I was like, oh, shit, he's playing there now? You know, but back to the deal, I'd pick Georgia.
That's right. Hey, we converted a Kentucky Wildcat to a Georgia Bulldog. Took about 30 minutes and 42 seconds. That's all I was on here to do today. But we got Georgia. I want to see you put some money where your mouth is, though. Let me send me that betting slip, and then we'll get serious. Then we'll get you out to Athens for a game.
Some preseason? Shit, dog. Well, hell, man. I'll let you get on with your day. What you got going on?
Man, just going back to the grind, trying to close some deals, trying to put us in a good position to succeed during football season, brother.
So you're trying to get some new business, push deals across, huh?
Yeah, well, right now we're really trying to optimize our product offering. So trying to optimize a subscription, give subscribers a really good experience, and we're really working on our fan app. So if you don't have that downloaded, free app, we got a Kentucky KSR Plus fan site where you can keep up with all your Kentucky news. But man, just trying to, you know, provide that breaking news, feed updates, notifications. We just launched a new schedule page to keep up with the schedule. But man, once we get that going and get the product up and rolling and optimized, and we're going to, you know, have a good season and continue to break the news and create good content around college sports.
Fuck yeah, brother. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me. Let's do it again.
Yeah, we're going to do it. We got all the weeks in the world to do this, because we're going to keep coming back. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, Duke. I'll catch you later, brother.
All right, so that was my boy John Staton. He's, again, the director of sports marketing over at On3. It's the fastest growing sports media company in America. We're blessed to have him. We're going to get into some more NFL news, some training camp clips, things like that. But we are seeing a common pattern. And John called in before or after the first helmet pop clip. I got another helmet pop clip. And this time it's from a guy that has a reputation for getting mad. It's DK Metcalf in the back of looks like a NFL Network show, popping someone in the head. Take a look at this. I'm going to play it again because it's a quick clip. I mean, Lord have mercy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
That sounded like some damn gunshots, boy. I don't know, man. A lot of people give me crap because I was a linebacker about having CTE. Probably give Staten some crap about having CTE. But there's a couple of receivers out there. I'm talking Antonio Brown, possibly DK Metcalf, that might have taken one too many hits. I'm not dogging on anybody's character, but DK Metcalf gets pissed off and looks like he ripped off a teammate's helmet and swung it at his teammate's head. Man, you can't do that, man.
Come on, man.
I don't know. I've never gotten that mad on a football field. I've gotten mad, but I ain't gotten that mad. It's just one of those things. Again, I said it before Staten hopped on. You got to take care of your teammates. You got to take care of your teammates. It's not good when a guy doesn't value his teammates' safety. And I'm not dogging on DK Metcalf. He's a great player. Hope that he doesn't face too much penalty for doing what he did. But it's like, damn, man. Got to look out for your folks. I don't know. But, again, I said this on the show the last couple weeks. It's camp. In training camp. Training camp sucks. And naturally, tensions are going to boil. Guys are going to get pissed off. And it's probably better that DK Metcalf did that now than on Sunday Night Football in Week 15, cost his team 15 yards plus, getting hit with fines. He probably got fined for that. I don't have the specifics, but tensions boil, and that clip is one of many. Not helmet pops anymore. We started the show off with some helmet pops, two of them. Here's a clip from Pittsburgh Steelers camp, another scrap, and it looks like Mike Tomlin's really enjoying these running back, linebacker, pass protection pickup drills. Take a look at this.
That was clean of this morning.
One thing out.
Jalen!
Come on!
Oh! He's doing so fun. And you got everybody. It looks like you got fans on the field. Watching this.
Let's go! It's like a side business of mine.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see what they're doing. Yeah!
That would piss me off so bad there at the end. But I like the drill that the Pittsburgh Steelers look like they're doing here at training camp. Pass protection, the running back's got to pick up a blitzing linebacker. For once, these drills are switched in favor to the defensive side. The running back's got to get his hands and stop a linebacker running at him from 5, maybe 10 yards. I would say 5. But there's always that 10 yards of separation normally between a running back and a linebacker in a real game, right? You got the running back 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage normally. You got the linebacker 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And I remember doing one-on-one drills in college where my white slow ass had to cover a running back from 10 yards out, and I would just get cooked. You know, I wasn't a pass coverage guy. That just wasn't my forte. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, damn, you got all this space to cover. I remember one time I was in high school and I was at a camp in Louisville, Kentucky, at the University of Louisville, and they would have these one-on-one, not like the Steelers were doing there, the opposite. It was a pass. So you got, again, 10 yards separation between linebacker and running back. The running backs are running routes out of the backfield trying to catch the ball. Linebacker's trying to break it up. And I remember having so many nerves going into these things because you're in front of everybody. And at this Louisville camp, I got a wild hair. I jump out there, and sure enough, jacked black dude jumps in. And then I recognized him. And I said, I've seen this guy on Rivals.com. He's a 4-star. And this is my first rep
I'm probably 16, 17 years old. Not a lot of mental resilience there yet. And this guy comes out, ball snapped, or however it happens in one-on-ones. He runs straight at me. I'm thinking, oh, this guy's fast. Sticks his foot in the ground, pivots away, and I lost my damn ankles in front of Charlie Strong, who was the head coach at University of Louisville at the time. And that might have been one of the moments where I knew, hey, there's levels to this shit. You know what I mean? Next deal. What was that, dude? Somebody, I think the person that tweeted this said Florida going 0-12 this year, dude. I'm going to run that back one more time. Look at this. So it looks like we're not getting down in our hips. We're trying to crane our back and our neck to make sure we stay under. I remember these damn, I don't even know what they're called, but you saw it on the clip. It's a platform that ensures you're staying low. And it looks like we're trying to crane our back and our neck so that we stay under without having to drop our hips. And trust me, I am the poster boy for tight hips. That was me when I was in college. It wasn't until I took up some martial arts training after my football career that I was able to even sit on my own heels. And it seems like your boy in the clip here looks like a linebacker group, has some tight hips in practice at the University of Florida going underneath this this platform, this deal that keeps you low. So tough scene, tough video to be taken, tough rep to be captured on video. This next clip's from the University of Alabama. I just like the juice, quite frankly. I would imagine this is their strength coach. And he kind of details on what is needed to be a great player at the University of Alabama.
It's why you came here. This is part of the reason. You got to grind through this. Everybody's done it that's worn those jerseys. It's hot. It's humid. We don't give a shit. It's about toughness. It's me. Not looking for a way out. Nobody's looking for a way out. Bama Jack's team ready. Bama Jack's team ready. Next time.
Bama. I think I heard somebody singing back there, but I mean, man, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, in late July, August is hell. I hear a lot of folks in Phoenix complaining about the Phoenix summer, and Phoenix summer is not for the faint of heart, right? It gets up to 115, 120, but there's zero humidity, and the humidity is the game changer, okay? The humidity, when you go out in late July for even a workout, let's say you don't have pads on. These guys have pads on. That's even worse. But I remember a workout my freshman year in Birmingham, Alabama at Samford University. We were in summer workouts, and we would used to always stand in a line right in front of the door going out to the field in the field house. And I remember a conversation between our strength coach and our director of football operations. And our director of football operations said, hey, BA, the heat index is like 118 right now. It's like 90% humidity. BA says, they're going to be all right. Let's get it going. And we go out there, man. It was my first workout of my freshman year. I had no idea what to expect. And we used to have to do 110s, 110-yard sprints. They were timed for each skill group. So let's say 11 seconds for the skill guys, the 13 seconds for the mids, right, linebackers, tight ends, and 15 seconds for the O-linemen. We weren't told how many we were going to run that fateful first workout, and we ended up running 32 110s, timed.
in the Alabama Heat. The Alabama Heat is undisputably worse in the summertime than Phoenix, Arizona. Let me tell you. Everybody out here in Phoenix wants to say, well, there ain't nothing worse than these summers. Go down to South Alabama in July and go down to South Louisiana in August. You'll find something much worse. You can't even walk to the damn car from your living residence without having a sweat stain on your gray shirt. We got a longer program than usual. Dialed in one of the boys. Happy to be here. This next clip's from there's a lot of clips from these joint practices between the Detroit Lions and the New York Giants. Malik Nabers and Amon-Ra St. Brown were part of two scuffles. I don't know if I got both of them in here, but I got the Nabers scuffle. And according to a post-practice interview, something was said to Malik Nabers that he can't repeat. He does a little run by here, and you guys will see the clip right here. People love it, dude. It's like hockey. I've never, to this day, I'll see these fights from training camp the last couple weeks, and I'll think to myself, who in their right mind is going to want to throw a straight two right into a metal face mask? Think about sometimes, like, I'm always told by my fighter buddies that when you have a guy on the ground and mount, sometimes some guys like the hammer fist, right? This right here. But other guys, it'll really damage this part of your hand. This part of your hand is real vulnerable. And so if you're messing your hand up in an MMA fight, hammer fisting someone just on their bare face, try throwing a straight two on a guy with a metal face mask guarding his face. Not only is it not going to do damage, and that may be part of why they do it, because they know they're not going to actually hurt anyone, but I can't imagine what some of those guys' hands looked like after that scrap. You know what I'm saying? Like, you saw a 26 for the Giants do a little fake bang. That had to hurt his hand, dude. I don't know. It always hurt my hand. I got in a couple of scraps here and there playing ball, and I never wanted to throw a punch because, number one, it would get me in trouble, and I wasn't good enough to get in trouble. But number two, it hurts your damn hand. At least try and take the guy's helmet off, reach around, get a strap. Reach around, get a strap, grab the face mask, lift it up. All right, now we're bare heads. Now we can go. But no, all these guys kept their helmets on. They got the protective caps that Staten mentioned earlier. And, I mean, shit, dude. It's just training camp, you know. But in terms of training camp, not just on the fighting side, on the football side, you're seeing certain guys emerge. And one of them that's emerged is a rookie by the name of Bo Nix. Played his college football at Auburn and then transferred to Oregon, where he really started to build an illustrious college football career. The Broncos are real high on him. We've mentioned it on the show before, but here's Sean Payton comparing him to a Hall of Famer.
You know, Breeze was one of those guys. He was a tough sack. Ball came out, and I think Bo has traits like that. I like it. I'm for it. I think it's a trait that when we watched – you see pretty good pocket.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sense. It doesn't take a lot of sacks. I think he knows when the play's over, time to go. And then I think he can make plays when he's going. I used to say this all the time, that the sack numbers are a reflection more on the quarterback than the offensive line.
That's an interesting take. Sacks are, according to Sean Payton, more on the quarterback than the O-line. Maybe I need to stop complaining about getting sacked all the time in NCAA if that's the case. Because I get sacked a lot. But nonetheless, it sounds like the Broncos are high on Bo Nix. It sounds like Bo Nix is going to be the QB1 for Denver going into week one. And we've seen rookie quarterbacks the last couple of years come in and really make an impact. Is Bo Nix going to be that guy? I can't speak for the rest of the Broncos roster and what they have going. But you're looking at an abysmal season last year. And then you kind of inject a new presence behind under center. And you can't help but think, could the AFC West be an interesting division? We'll see. We'll see if they can beat the Chiefs. We'll see. So we already talked about that, FIU with Staten. So here's the thing. I'm a Bengals fan, always have been, and I love scrolling Twitter because of the things I see about the Bengals, details about the Bengals training camp. So the key that I want you guys to look at here is a lot of under center slash 12 personnel slash boot stuff in camp this year. Staff clearly wants to incorporate more of the traditional McVay-ish stuff they ran with Browning into the Burrow offense. I wouldn't call Burrow comfortable with it just yet. So Joe Burrow, through weeks 1 through 11 last season, when he was healthy, the Bengals were last in the league in under center snaps. In weeks 12 through 18, the Bengals had one of the highest explosive play rates under center with Jake Browning. So you think about it, Burrow gets hurt, you insert Jake Browning into the picture, who is not Joe Burrow, and you start, as an offensive coordinator, head coach with the Bengals, you start to say, okay, we're going to run more under center, we're going to kind of control the call sheet a little more. And so weeks 1 through 11 with Burrow, the Bengals had 0% explosive plays, no explosive plays under center. When Browning got into the picture in weeks 12 through 18, the Bengals started running under center more, and the explosive play rate jumped to 16% under center. Clearly, Burrow wasn't the problem with the offense. So I look back. Peyton Manning had a 106.8 QB rating from shotgun and a 113.4 rating under center. Last time Aaron Rodgers won MVP, the Packers had the ninth lowest shotgun rating that season. So nowadays, you look at things, and I did a deep dive on this. I did some research. The teams that went under center the most last season included the Dolphins, the San Francisco 49ers, the Minnesota Vikings, the Los Angeles Rams, the Detroit Lions, and the Houston Texans. You're hearing a lot of the most effective offenses in the NFL from last year that statistically ran the most of their snaps under center. So even when the Cowboys whooped the when the Packers whooped the Cowboys in the playoffs last year, they ran 63% of their offensive snaps under center. So, according to this tweet here, Bengals are running a lot more under center stuff, play action on early downs, boot plays, things like that really set an offense up. So my point being here is that the Bengals obviously have taken note of this, and they're implementing it into their offense at least early to middle of camp. Whether they implement it during the season, that's a whole different story, because obviously media's got a hold on this. Other teams are going to see it, possibly prepare for it. But statistically, you cannot tell me that it would not be a good decision for the Cincinnati Bengals to start running more snaps under center with Joe Burrow, start to implement more of that McVay, McDaniel pre-snap window dressing, right? Throwing Jamar out in motion, running some jet sweeps, some play action jet sweeps, some play action jet sweep runs up the middle with some of these up-and-coming backs that the Bengals have got in the running back room. So Burrow doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. And I understand why he doesn't like it, because when you're in shotgun, you can see a lot more. You can make a lot more pre-snap reads, a lot more pre-snap adjustments. But history tells us Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and there was a stat on Tom Brady that I did not get, all had more success under center. So look out for that as we get closer and closer to football season. Look out for the Bengals to have more offensive snaps under center. Next deal. So I thought this was interesting. Somebody asked Josh Allen if he missed Stephon Diggs. And he said this: Steph's a great player. I don't know if I'd say miss. Stephon Diggs had 445 receptions, 5,372 receiving yards, and 37 touchdowns in his tenure with the Bills. So, Josh Allen, how could you possibly say that you don't miss him? Is there some Hollywood drama in the picture here? We know Diggs has a personality. We know Josh Allen's come to his own as a franchise quarterback. But it sounds like Josh Allen's quote here was a little personal. And I think that's all there is to it. On paper, you cannot say that you don't miss Stephon Diggs. You can't say that. The stats are right here. It was a personal issue, and I always say where there's smoke, there's fire. Remember all those media rumors about Diggs having a problem in the locker room in Buffalo? Could Josh Allen have been part of that problem? I don't know. But nonetheless, Stephon Diggs is with the Houston Texans. There's no point in ruminating on it, I guess. I don't know if I agree with Josh Allen's saying that. Next deal. So I thought this was interesting. The Titans are introducing a mosh pit when their new stadium opens. Here's the details. I'll save y'all. I won't read this whole thing. Basically, they want to put the highest energy, most rambunctious fans in one section. Mosh pit members will set the tone for an electric game day experience, leading the charge and creating the most formidable home field advantage in the NFL. I would imagine, just based on being in ticket sales in the NFL, I would imagine that this is a business development strategy that the Titans ticket sales office has thought up. Because when ticket sales reps are on the phone with fans, now they have this mosh pit, and they can say to a fan, hey, I've got a block of four seats in the first row of the mosh pit still available, our brand new mosh pit. You're a high energy fan, right? See how easy that would be? In the Titans' current stadium, and I would imagine in their new stadium, you have to purchase a seat license before you can purchase season tickets. It's like this a lot of places in the NFL. I interviewed with the Titans for a role in their ticket sales office a couple of times, and one major thing that held me back from working with them was the seat license that you had to sell in accordance with what they actually had to pay for the season tickets. It's a barrier that you got to overcome. It's another objection in sales that you got to overcome. Is like, hey, you know, you got to pay 10 grand for the seat license, and then let's do an additional 2,500, 3,000 for the season tickets this year. And then next season, you're going to keep having to pay for the season tickets, right? I think they do it that way in Las Vegas with the Raiders. I think they do it that way with the New York Stadium up there. I could be wrong, MetLife. But all this, it's great they're doing this. It's great the Titans are coming up with fresh ideas for different sections of the stadium. And it could work out great. I think it probably might. But at the end of the day, I just see this as a ticket sales strategy, a business development strategy. Because the Titans are one of those organizations that, like, they're still having to sell seats. You got some really unique organizations like the Patriots, like the Steelers, that don't ever have to worry about selling seats. I've never seen an account executive ticket sales role listed from the Steelers or the Patriots or the Packers or the Cowboys. They might have salespeople, but you get my point. There's kind of those upper echelon organizations that are always going to have a season ticket wait list. The Titans are not one of those organizations yet. So I see this mosh pit as a ticket sales strategy. All right, last clip of the week. This is a story from a TikTok account I've been following. I think it's a podcast. Would love to chat with this guy in the future, but this guy that hosts this podcast was an assistant at the University of Alabama under Nick Saban, and he tells all the peculiar stories that he experienced while in the Alabama football program. And I thought this one was pretty interesting to close out the show.
Things are different in Tuscaloosa. There's a main road that goes down one side of the practice field. It's the farthest field from the actual complex. It's the farthest field. There's all these apartment buildings. I said, you know what? I said, it's amazing that nobody ever watches practice from those balconies of those apartments. And they were like, oh, no, coach. They have, when you sign up for those apartments, if you're going to rent those apartments, or about 500 feet down, there is this really nice game day condo building, and it's about 5 or 6 stories tall.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But when you go to purchase one or you go to move in, you have to sign a piece of paper that says we won't watch practice or you can't go. I mean, it was strict. And so I'm there. I don't know, Neil. I'm there. I don't know exactly. I mean, I've been there a while. I mean, it wasn't the first spring. I've been there a while. I think it was in the fall sometime. And dude, I'm out at freaking practice one day, and I'm standing closest to the indoor, so I'm looking. You know, I guess that would be north. And I look up, and I just made the comment. I was like, damn, that's the first person I've ever seen outside the gates
yeah.
when the daylight's out. And the word got around really quick. What it was is there were workers. They were, like, fixing the air conditioner and the roof or something.
Yeah.
They were up on the top of the roof of this building. They were very clearly workers. And they had just stopped working and were watching practice.
Yeah.
Dude, I shit you not. But hey, it couldn't have been 3 or 4 minutes later. I look up. One of our security guards is on top of the roof.
Just kicking ass.
And they had to leave. I said, what the hell did you tell them? He said, coach. He goes, I told them if they can work between the hours of 6 in the morning till 2 o'clock. And then they can work again at 6:30 to whenever they get done. But they are not to be on this roof. And by God, they wasn't. And so
it's crazy, man.
And so I shit you not. For like 3 weeks, we would be walking out for pre-practice and stuff.
That dude was
And those dudes were leaving the scene. Like they had like a long job, and they would leave work every day at 2 o'clock. I was like, yeah, this place is a little different.
Yeah.
This place is a little different.
He's opened it up now. You can watch from the apartment.
So that they showed somebody from the apartment. So I was like, man, that shit would be going on. Like Nick would lose his mind. I mean, he'd lose his mind. And a lot of coaches do.
Yeah.
We had the problem here at Ole Miss.
Dang, dude. I think it just goes to show the power that Nick Saban had. He probably, in that particular instance, Saban probably didn't even have to see it or say anything. The expectation was already set in stone. And somebody saw it, and they fucking handled it because they knew that if they didn't, that Saban was going to get in their ass. But it sounds like with the new Bama head coach that now folks are able to watch the practices from their apartment building. I can't imagine living in one of those apartments. I wouldn't get anything done because I'd just be watching practice every day. Not even trying to get any inside information, just enjoying watching ball. I loved watching practice when I worked with Indy at the facility. And some programs are real, real anal about people being able to see practice. And it seems like, rightfully so, that Saban was one of those folks. All right, we're going to get y'all out of here. This is In the Jar, episode 30. We appreciate y'all staying this long, man. It's been a journey so far, and it's going to continue to be, baby. We appreciate y'all showing up. Like this video. Subscribe if it hits you in the chest the right way. It really helps the channel out. And we'll see you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.